And we're not, many times, we're not that faithful to the Lord, are we? We fall short, really short. But he's so faithful to us, and we praise him today. Glory be to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I'm going to read beginning with verse number 11. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 11. I don't know, did I give you those scriptures up there? Okay. 7 and 11. Good, they've got it. Amen. Today I really feel just really directed of the Lord to make an appeal to you, the people of God, to talk to you from what I believe is this is the most crucial and important time for us as Christians. We need to take this personal, and we need to allow the Lord to speak to us concerning the times that we're in right now. The setting in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is the dedication of Solomon's temple. It's called Solomon's temple, obviously, because he was the builder. And his father, David, it was in his heart to build the temple. But the Lord said no. David saw that he was living in a nice, the scripture calls it a nice sealed house, which just meant that it was a house that was just a very nice home. He was living in a nice dwelling. But then he said, but God, and we're worshiping in a tent. We're still in a tent. And I have a nice home. And really all of Israel, they had their houses built and they lived in comfortable homes. And so David had as his burden to see the temple of the Lord constructed. But the Lord said, no, not you. It's going to have to be your son, Solomon, that does this. And Solomon builds the temple, dedicates the temple. And this is the close of the dedication season. Actually, it was 23 days that they celebrated this dedication of this glorious temple that had been built. It took 7 years to build it. And it was an amazing architectural feat. Not only that, but was built with all kinds of beautiful, ornate gold, silver, and the structure was magnificent. And so this is the close of the dedication. The Bible says that Solomon sent all the people home, and they all went home, and they were all rejoicing and happy because of what they had witnessed in the dedication of this wonderful temple. 2 Chronicles 7 and 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. He prosperously effected. That just means he didn't limit the expense at all. It was a very extravagant expenditure. Verse 12, it says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. If you want to read his prayer, it's chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles. It is the prayer that Solomon prayed for the dedication of the temple. I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Verse 14 is the verse that is most often quoted, but it's important to look at it within its context of this dedication of the temple. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 15, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And I won't read, but you can read the rest of that chapter in your own time. You know, David was a worshiper from the beginning. He was a worshiper from the beginning. He spent his time on the backside of the wilderness worshiping the Lord. So he knew you didn't have to necessarily have a special building to worship God in, because he worshiped the Lord out there taking care of his sheep on the backside of the wilderness and worshiped God and penned many of the Psalms during that experience. And so then later, when David became king, he had such a desire to see the house of God built, the temple of the Lord built, because the temple was a tabernacle, which just meant it was temporary. It was moved as the people moved. But once they became fixed and stationary and there in Jerusalem, then it was in his heart. That's the reason why that when the ark was moved and was finally brought to Jerusalem, that David led the procession and danced before the Lord with all of his might. I mean, he was just so thrilled and so happy to see worship being permanently fixed in Jerusalem, because that really had been his lifelong desire. And then, as I mentioned, he desired to build the temple himself. And he went to the prophet Nathan, and Nathan said, yeah, that's a good thing. Do what's in your heart. But then later, Nathan came to him and said, that the Lord came to me during the night and spoke to me, and his word to me was that not you. You won't build this temple, but instead your seed, your sons will build this temple, and this house will be established forever. Now, David was maybe disappointed, but there's nowhere in the scripture where it says he was disappointed when that happened. But instead, the Bible says that he recognized that his son, Solomon, this is in chapter 22 and verse 6, he called Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my heart to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, that thou shed blood abundantly, that you've made wars, thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth. And so a man of war was not going to be the builder of the temple, but instead a man of peace. And that was going to be Solomon that was going to step into that role and would build the temple. But David was going to do everything that he could possibly do to make sure that it happened, and to set up Solomon for success, to do whatever that he could do. In verse 14, he told Solomon, he said, I have troubled myself. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord. He's just saying, listen, this has been a lot of effort. I've put myself out to do this. There's been a lot of trouble in doing this. And I've prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereto. And then he said, and I've lined up the work crew. I've got the workers and everybody in abundance, those that can hew wood, those that can, that are workers of stone and timber, all manner of cunning or skillful workers, every one of them. I've got them all lined up. I've got everything set up for you to be a success in getting this done. Now, God had said to David, you can't build it, but God didn't say, you can't get everything set up and prepared so that Solomon can do it. And that's exactly what David did. You understand that not only did he prepare for this temple to be built by providing workers and materials and everything that was going to be needed, but he was also responsible for securing the location of this temple, the property that it was going to be built upon. Remember, that property there in the land of Moriah, on Mount Moriah, it's the same piece of land on top of that hill that Abraham went to was commanded of the Lord to take his only son Isaac up into the land of Moriah and to the top of that hill and to build an altar and to sacrifice his only son right there on that mountaintop. Very same spot. But then David later on, and I'm just going through all this background, and then I'll get to my point here this morning, here in just a moment, that David provided also the property and the location. Scripture says you have to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 24 to read about this. But David, this is the account of when David numbered the people. He numbered the people, and God had commanded him not to do that. You see, he would numbered the people. He numbered the people because he wanted to make sure that he had the strength and the manpower to defeat his enemies. And God had instructed him, don't trust in your own strength. Don't trust in your armies. Don't trust in your horses and your chariots. Put your trust in the Lord. But David made the terrible mistake and sinned against the Lord and numbered the people. And God says, there's going to be judgment for this. There's going to be consequences for what you do. And the Bible says that the Lord gave him three choices. Three different choices. Either pestilence is going to come, 7 years of famine is going to come, or you're going to be running from your enemies for 3 months. Those are your choices. Wow. And the Bible says that David, instead of saying, okay, I'll choose this one, David just said, I'm going to throw myself on the mercy of God. I'm going to throw myself on God's mercy. And then he went to a place, the land of Moriah, this mountaintop. And at that time, it was owned by a man by the name of Araunah. Araunah owned it. And he said, I want to build an altar here and sacrifice unto the Lord and plead with God to have mercy upon us. And Araunah, who said, the king is here, I'll just give it to him. He said, here, you can have the land, and I'll even provide the sacrifices for this altar to be built and for these animals to be slain. And David said, these are, of course, his famous words. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I will not offer to the Lord that which cost me nothing. And David paid the price for the threshing floor of Araunah. And that is the spot, the same mountaintop spot where Isaac was offered. And it's the same mountaintop spot where Solomon was going to build the temple. So David owned probably 30 or more years before the temple was going to be built. He had purchased the threshing floor of Araunah. And there's a lot to be said about it. I don't have time to go into all that about the temple and it being a threshing floor. I'll just say this, that when the threshing floor was always on a high and an elevated place like this Mount Moriah, so that the wind could catch the chaff and blow it away as it was separated. The dead was separated from the living. And that's very significant as it relates to the sacrifices and what went on there at the temple site for over 400 years. The separation of death and life. And what God was doing and symbolizing, of course, the coming of Jesus Christ himself, who is going to be the better sacrifice. Too much to talk about in all of that here today, because I've got to get to my point. My point is that this morning, I want to make an appeal to you. I want to make this appeal to you, the same appeal that God gave to Solomon. And he told him, Solomon prayed his prayer. The Bible says that after he prayed his prayer of dedication, that the fire of God came down out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice. The glory of the Lord was so strong and so powerful in the temple that those that were ministering in the temple, they couldn't even stay upright. They fell to the ground. There was such a glory of the Lord in the temple. And so this was all a part of the dedication. And at the close of the dedication, God appears to Solomon in the night and tells him, listen, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. He speaks to Solomon and tells him, this temple is going to be the place where my people are going together. And my people are going to mess up. They're going to fail. They're going to make mistakes. Just like you did, and you had to purchase this very property and build an altar. This is going to be a place where the people of God are going to have to go back again and again and again and again. And they're going to have to call upon me and repent of their sins and repent of their wickedness and their waywardness. And he said, but if they'll do that, when the pestilence comes, when the trouble comes, when the heartache comes, if they'll call on me, if they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I am going to hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Now, I know this was spoken to Solomon. I understand that it was spoken to the nation of Israel. But I think it has very clear significance for you and me here in these present times right now. That God is speaking very directly to the people of God. We have an important role to play in these times right now. We need to answer the call of God. And God promised Solomon in the middle of the night. And he's just had this glorious 23-day dedication with the power of God and the glory of God. But the Lord appeared to him and said, there's going to come a time when the nation is going to fail me. And they're going to sin against me. And I'm going to send pestilence. And I'm going to send locusts. I'm going to send judgment against them. And when that happens, I want you to know that this place where I've met with you today, I will meet with you and I will hear your cry. If you will humble yourself and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. See, the promise was to the people of God. To the people of God, and the call, the appeal today is an appeal to God's people, to the church, to believers, to accept our responsibility. Now, none of us could have predicted 6 months ago where we would be today. All of the events of the last 6 months have been a complete surprise to most of us. Amen. We didn't. As a matter of fact, I can go back and watch almost any preacher in December and January and even February. You can go back to their live stream sermons and people have all different kinds of direction they're preaching. And not very many are talking about anything that might happen. It's almost as if we have been hit and blindsided by all that's happening in our world right now. And it's come suddenly and quickly, and it's affected the entire world, and not one person is unaffected. And what we are dealing with right now in our country is such unrest and such fear and concern that really this is the kind of time that God was speaking to Solomon about in the middle of the night. He said, there's going to come a time. It's going to happen. And when the people turn away from me, and when they reject my word, and they reject my voice, and they go their own way, then the people of God will be the answer. The people that will cry out to me will be the answer. So my appeal to you today, at this time that we are living right now, is for you to personally take this to heart. Take this to heart and to recognize you have an important role to play in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that God doesn't just dwell in buildings, and I understand that he dwells in our hearts, and that our temple, our body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people of God. I'm talking about you and me as the people of God. We have a call and a responsibility, and quite frankly, we are the only hope of the world. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days, if we continue to decline and deteriorate in our nation in the direction that we are right now, can you imagine if we see as much of a decline in the next 6 months as we have seen in the last 6 months? Where will we be in 6 months? Where will we be in a year's time from now? I'm not trying to scare you or make you fearful. I just am trying to make an appeal to you to recognize that the church must accept the call of God and the responsibility that God is putting upon us right now to call upon the name of the Lord. To call upon the name of the Lord. That's the promise of God. Amen. And to recognize the great privilege of being a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How precious that it is. We treat it too carelessly. We treat it as if it's not important. But it is important. And it is so important that in these particular times that we understand what is happening, and that things will continue to decline unless we hear from God, unless we hear from heaven. And we won't hear from heaven unless the people of God are willing to seek the face of God. And we're willing to humble ourselves before God. That we're willing to seek his face, call upon his name, and then hear from God as a response to that. Amen. God wants to use the church. There's new terminology that's being used these days. It's the term woke. And it doesn't exactly mean what I'm saying when I say woke, but the church needs to have an awakening, an awareness of who we are and what God has called us to do in these present times. Amen. That's the appeal that I'm making to you today. Would you take this to heart? Would you pray and seek the Lord? And I want you to be encouraged to know that there are many, many churches, believers, Christians across this country that are doing the same thing. Some are praying, some are fasting, some are setting aside days, weeks, and there are different times. Folks, our answer, don't wait for November to think that's going to be the answer, because it doesn't matter what direction that the elections go, we still are going to be in a desperate, desperate need for God. It really doesn't make any difference. Even if things go in the direction of conservatism in elections, don't put your hope in men. Don't put your hope in political parties. That's not going to be the answer. We're still in a great spiritual need, folks, in our nation. We've turned away from the Lord. What do we deserve? We deserve judgment. People have asked me, do you think all that's happening right now in our nation right now is the judgment of God? Absolutely. Absolutely. I am convinced it is the judgment of God. The disease, the virus, all of it. All of it is that God is allowing these things to happen in our world because of a people that have refused and removed God from every public and private area of our lives, and a rejection of God. And so now we are facing all this calamity in our land today. And God spoke to Solomon and said, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. If I shut up the heaven, that there be no rain. If I command the locust to devour the land. Or if I send pestilence, which is just diseases. Pestilences among my people. Wow. It's very direct, isn't it? Very direct. If I do that, if I allow that to happen in the world, what is happening around us now in our world? We don't see it as directly right here in our own community. But if we don't get a hold of God, it's coming our direction. It's coming toward us. I know it's in the major cities right now what is happening. But there is a desperate hour. God said, if it happens, And I shut up the heavens, and there's no rain, and there's judgment that comes. And here's the promise. If my people, it all hinges upon the people of God. Amen. I know that publicly, most in our world today, they would think that, you know, the church, the Bible, Christianity, the ministry, all these things, that they are... they're just a small part of what our nation is. But we know from God's word that the most important influence in our world today is a righteous influence. It's the most important influence in our world that we need to cry out to the Lord at this particular time. Amen. And when we do, the Lord has promised, eyes are going to be turned toward you. I'm going to respond to your cries. I'm going to hear from heaven. I'm going to send healing into the land. What does that mean? I believe it means just what it says. God will send healing into the land. Healing. That would be physical healing, spiritual healing, the divisions and the hatred and all that's happening in our world right now. God says, I will heal the land. Whatever is destroying lives and people and the nation, God will respond with healing. Amen. So my appeal to you today is, the answer is not in anything, certainly not in money. It's not in the economy. It's not in your job. It's not in your bank account. It's not in any of your plans or your purpose. If you've excluded God and have not put God first in your heart, in your life, then you are part of the problem and not a part of the solution. The way that we come to the place that God has promised, this promise of revival is a promise to the people of God. If we'll pray that we will be the church, we'll be the cure, we'll provide the answer and the hope to this generation. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. And I believe that God wants to stir up the people of God to prayer and to seek the face of the Lord. For that reason, we're going to continue this prayer effort on Sunday evenings and Monday as well, to pray, to fast, to seek the Lord as a body, as a group. And I encourage you, get on board, be a part of this, and allow the Lord to stir your heart toward a real solution. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence, and thank you, Lord, that in your word you have provided for us hope. And that hope, Lord, is in the fact that the people of God know how to pray. They know how to get a hold of you. They know how to seek the face of God. I pray for every family here in this place. Lord, every home, God, that we would just be willing to pray because our own family, our own loved ones can be affected by all of this. But Lord, if we'll pray, if we'll seek your face, if we'll humble ourselves, Lord, then you will hear and you will save and you will heal. And we're believing you to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah.